White Rocket Entertainment.
You are listening to the AU Wishbone, almost credible sports discussion on the War Eagle Sports Radio Network.
A miracle in Jordan Hare! A miracle in Jordan Hare!
We welcome you to Jordan Hare Stadium for tonight's game.
It's the Wishbone Podcast, your source for Auburn football discussion and commentary. Here are your hosts, Van Allen Plexico and John Ringer.
Hello! Welcome to the AU Wishbone and to AU Wishbone TV, brought to you by White Rocket Entertainment, in association with TheWarEagleReader.com and the War Eagle Sports Radio Network. I'm Van Allen Plexico. I'm joined, as always, by my co-host.
I'm John Ringer.
John, we have made the move to video, but we are still on audio. You can watch this show on YouTube later on. In fact, you can watch us on iTunes. You can hear us at the War Eagle. You can listen to us on iTunes. You can listen to WarEagleReader.com, War Eagle Sports Radio. John, we are here to talk about a subject that it took me several days to come around to wanting to talk about. It's a good thing that I had stuff going on Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, and I had to work late Wednesday. So I think it's a good thing that we had to wait until Thursday night to finally talk about this situation. And by that, I mean, of course, the upcoming South Carolina primaries.
It is a good thing that we had to wait. I think the show would have been very different if we had done it Sunday night. I think we both have a little more perspective now than we did then, and I think everybody else does too. But it was good to make us wait. And you are, of course, wearing the Damian Craig jersey in honor of tonight's topic, and I am wearing the Foy Union Info Desk T-shirt because I'm going to drop some knowledge on you here very shortly.
Very nice. I like the Foy Union shirt. That's pretty cool. Well, I am wearing this ironically, so if you'll hold on for just a moment. John, would you describe for the folks who are listening to the podcast what is now happening?
Van is wearing a number 16 Damian Craig Auburn jersey. He is now taking off the Damian Craig jersey and wearing a plain Auburn shirt underneath. And he took it off and tossed it aside.
There you go. There's my editorial comment for tonight.
Well, we're going to talk about that.
Yeah, that's my statement.
So how did you feel on Sunday, on Valentine's Day, when Damian Craig broke Auburn fans' hearts and ran away to LSU? And we're going to get into the in-depth of, like, why we think he did it and what we think about what's going on Auburn and his replacement and how this affects the future. But I want to know about Sunday specifically, when you found out about it and how you felt about it and that kind of thing.
We're going to get into why it all happened. Well,
I don't have facts to back this up,
and I really don't think I should
say big one. You hear that, Elizabeth? I'm coming to join you, honey.
And I looked at him and I almost said,
"You lied to me."
And the whole thing just felt like
it's a trap.
And then I just said,
"Oh my God!"
So that was my initial reaction. How's that?
Here's me holding up my sign. It's very relevant right now. So, my initial reaction was I was very upset, like a lot of Auburn fans. I really like Damian Craig as one of my favorite players, as obviously one of Van's favorite players. He's wearing his jersey. And I think he's an excellent recruiter, and he was an asset for Auburn. And I was upset to see him leave and go to LSU for a similar position. And I was kind of unhappy. I was very unhappy. I was like, out of all Auburn fans, I didn't understand why he would do that. But with the perspective of a couple of days and reading some other things about it, thinking about it, I've come to a pretty good place about it. But during the day on Sunday, Sunday afternoon when it was happening, I was like, oh, not happy. And I was angry at him. I was angry at Craig. I was angry at Gus. I was angry at Red. I was angry at everybody. So that's how I felt on Sunday.
Well, I'm going to walk through sort of briefly how it went down for me. I saw that it happened. I was puzzled. I was shocked, you know. And then immediately, and this is, you know, this was 90% of what I wanted to talk about 2 days ago. Now I barely thought it has to be talked about. And that is the Auburn family reaction to it, particularly the slice that I was experiencing on Twitter. I'm sure you saw what was going on Twitter, right?
Sure.
On Auburn Twitter.
Making Auburn the Twitter with hashtag.
Hashtag Auburn Twitter. And in retrospect, I realize now what it was. It's that we already know that there is a sizable contingent of Auburn fans who don't like Gus. They either never liked him or they've given up on him. Remember, this is the group that thinks that a year and a half equals a failed coach the year after we almost won the national championship. So I can't conceive of that mindset. I just can't. So I'm on Twitter trying to reason with these people, and I get called all sorts of names because I'm trying to reason with them and show them that they're being a little hasty and they don't have all the facts and they're being a little bit ridiculous. And I get called things. I had to block Auburn people on Twitter when this was all happening on what, Sunday?
Yes. And I think it was a big thing. I mean, you know, people were genuinely very upset about it. And I understand that because we care about Auburn football and we like Damian Craig. We liked him being part of the coaching staff. So people were upset. And I think some of it is Twitter is not the medium for rational discourse. It's the medium for like, hot take, you know, don't think about it, just shoot stuff out there. And I think it's also the people weren't ready to talk about it rationally. They were still working through the stages of grief, you know, anger, denial, bargaining, and they weren't close to being able to have a conversation about it. They were still in anger. So they couldn't get there with you to do about it. But we're going to come back to this discussion about because after we talk about the Damian Craig thing and his replacement, I want to come back to this discussion about what is appropriate to talk about Auburn online in your opinion versus not. Because I think that's an important topic. We've touched on it before in another episode, but I want to come back to it because it relates to this specific instance and how you felt about Sunday and blocking people and stuff.
Yes.
All right. So why do you think Damian Craig left?
Because he's a no good sidewinding back.
You don't really think that, do you?
No, I think that what happened was I think that there's people who have all these conspiracy theories about Rhett Lashley and let me just say, if your idea is that Damian Craig pitches a hissy fit and says, I don't want to work with that kid anymore. He sucks. And Gus is therefore supposed to go to his offensive coordinator who has done nothing wrong.
Contracts say they're the same.
Okay. The one that was introduced when he introduced Ellis at the other side of him.
Sure.
Okay. Gus is supposed to go to that person who has done nothing wrong other than allegedly, you know, not live up to making Jeremy Johnson not throw six interceptions or something. Gus is supposed to go to him and say, this other coach on my staff doesn't like you anymore, so you're fired. That's what he's supposed to do in these people's minds. If Gus had done that, I don't know I'd want anything to do with this program. That's ridiculous. That is ridiculous. And so that really made me angry that the reaction of some people was that Rhett should have just been cut loose because one of our other coaches just doesn't really feel like working with him and would rather, you know, take over that role himself, which he's never shown any capacity to do before. But okay, you know, he was a quarterback coach, he's a receivers coach. The receivers couldn't catch a cold, okay? So my first reaction was what Damian's wanting to do is go somewhere where the offense is not programmed completely by the head coach, where the head coach can run the program like Les Miles does, and Damian has a fair shot at having actual input into what kind of offense they run. Because as I've said, if you expect Gus Malzahn, A, to have some offensive coordinator with a different system come in, or B, want to run any offense other than the one he invented, you're crazy. You're crazy. We hired Gus to be Gus. He is like Steve Spurrier. He is like Bobby Bowden. He runs the offense. He calls the plays. It is his offense. Gus is not going to be the CEO and bring in some offensive coordinator who runs some other offense, and he's not going to have Damian Craig come install some other offense just because he doesn't particularly like Gus's offense or something, apparently. So Craig wanted to go somewhere that the offense is in its own box and he can be one of the architects working in that box, because he was never going to be that at Auburn, right? He just isn't. His job at Auburn is to implement Gus's offense, not to help create something new. And then part two of that is he goes to LSU. Cam Cameron is hanging by a thread. Didn't bother him. And who does LSU want as their head coach? Well, think about Jimbo. Think about it this way. I've heard people say, when Damian was at Florida State, you know, Jimbo, they were tight. Damian never got tight with the Auburn staff. And so he wants to grow. He wants to become a head coach. That's great. No problem. I honor that. Go do it, Damian. That's great. So if he goes to LSU, Les Miles may be gone. Kirk Cameron, what's his name?
I just said it. Cam Cameron,
right? Maybe gone, but they'll darn sure keep Damian Craig. And then here comes Jimbo, and guess who his offensive coordinator is? Right, that's a possibility. So, I just feel like when Damian said it was not a lateral move, it made me mad at first. And I had a little screed about it, pointing out that, you know, yeah, you're right. And he said something about, you know, one program was superior to the other, which I thought was a cheap shot. I'm thinking, yeah, because one program won one national championship in 2006 in the Les Miles with two losses.
Okay.
Won one and came within that much of another. All won right. Two SEC championships. It is not a lateral move. It's a downgrade.
Okay. Number one, that was a stupid question, and he wasn't ever going to answer it honestly. So there's no point in getting upset about that question, ever. What was he going to say? Yes, it was a downgrade. I voluntarily left and downgraded to go be at LSU. I don't care about that question or his answer to it at all. To go back to the beginning about why I think he left, there are two things. One is creative control of the offense, which you touched on. And the second is Damian Craig wasn't the wide receiver coach. He was the co-offensive coordinator who coached the wide receivers. And Rhett Lashley was the co-offensive coordinator who coached the quarterbacks. And we had to do that to hire him away from Florida State, because of the way the rules work for poaching assistant coaches, you can only do it if they get a promotion. Now, the only way to give a position coach a promotion is to make them a coordinator. Go.
I have a question. That's good stuff. So how was LSU able to get him and hire him just as a receivers coach?
Because he left and we let him go.
Ah, bingo, bingo, bingo. Bingo, bingo.
I'm not done yet, though.
I do not have a sound effect for that. You're welcome. But that's it. We let him go. I think that's at the core of a lot of it. It was something of a mutual decision.
Okay. You were correct in that Damian's goal was to be a head coach. In order to be a head coach, he has to be able to seen as having a positive impact on his position or whatever. He could do that. He's seen as a good recruiter, but he wanted to have some input into the offense. And Gus Malzahn doesn't listen to him on the offense at all. Mm-mm. Even though his job title and his business card and everything else says co-offensive coordinator, Gus doesn't listen to him. Gus does listen to Rhett on the offense. It's not Gus in a box. You know, Gus and Rhett talk about stuff, and Gus listens to Rhett during the game and before the game. Gus doesn't listen to other people. And so I think I don't think there's any, like, bad feelings. And, you know, Rhett and Damian Craig don't get along. I think that it's a bunch of crud. But I think we're talking about creative tension in a workplace where – Damian wants to succeed. He sees something and he's like, I know this will work. I was a quarterback at Auburn. I was worked at Florida State. I've seen enough football to know that if we do this, even if this is something in Gus's offense, if we do this thing, it will work. And Gus was like, no, not listen to you. Don't want to hear it. Don't bother me. Okay. And so that's on Gus because of Gus is the way he is. As you said, it's his offense, it's his way, and he's not going to have a committee discussion even about his offense. He's going to, you know, listen to Rhett, and I think now on the current staff, he's going to listen to Herb Hand because they coached together years ago and had a lot of success at Tulsa together, and Herb Hand brought in a lot of the read option stuff when they did it. So I think some of this is about – Damian wanted to feel valued and feel like he was contributing in terms of the strategy and the tactics of what actually happened on the field with the offense. And that wasn't happening at Auburn. He was, you know, recruited receivers. He coached receivers, and the receivers coach at Auburn is not a complicated job. We have very few routes. A lot of it is blocking. And when you don't have the ball, what you're supposed to do in terms of faking and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, so that's a lot of the job. So I think he wanted to have input. He didn't. And then also he wasn't when he, you know, went and talked to other people outside, he's like, I'm trying to get a head coaching job. And they're like, well, you know, we know you're a good recruiter, but we knew that already. And we don't know if you're a good coach because we can't see any evidence of that in terms of on the field coaching. So he wanted to go somewhere where he had a chance to be a coach. Now, in terms of, is this a lateral move? Cam Cameron, the offensive coordinator at LSU, his contract expires in a month. He has not signed an extension, and LSU hasn't worked out an extension with him. Damian Craig could be the offensive coordinator at LSU in May. It could 100% could happen. But in spring practice, he could be the offensive coordinator at LSU. I don't think that's going to happen for sure. I think they're probably going to keep Cam Cameron because Les Miles trusts him. But there's a scenario where that happens. So it could be also a scenario where – you know, Cam Cameron's the offensive coordinator, but, you know, they let Damian Craig coach the quarterbacks and something else. So there was the potential there for him. And so my feeling is, like, everybody, part of all of this, when something like this happens and people are angry, is everybody wants to blame somebody. Like, who's at fault? We must assign blame.
Right.
And my thing is, exactly. Sometimes in professional situations, when somebody leaves and goes to another job, it's just best for that person's career. And Damian is doing what's best for him in the long term in his career. And that's okay. And I'm, you know, if one day he's the head coach somewhere, I'm going to be happy. And I don't have any bad feelings towards Damian Craig. And, you know, I don't have any bad feelings towards Gus because, as you said, it's Gus's offense. And he knows what he wants to do. And he knows how he wants to do it. And, therefore, he didn't want to have a, you know, committee meeting where he was taking input from everybody about what he should do with his offense. He's very, you know, in his own head about it. And that's what it is. I mean, I at times last year, maybe he took too much input, and that's why the offense struggled, because he felt like he was taking too much input from other people. So I think sometimes, and I think clearly he wants to get back to basics kind of, and that's why I think that was part of it. So that's my theory.
I think that part of the problem is that there were people that already had preconceived animosities toward Rhett Lashley and toward Gus. And so this just threw gas on the fire, right? They're wanting to blame Gus and especially Rhett Lashley for everything that goes wrong. And so when Damian Craig leaves, who was the golden boy, Auburn hero and everything, this is just one more nail in the coffin for them, for Gus and Rhett, you see. The other thing is I'm kind of torn on this question. I wonder if, you know, years from now, let me restate the question. Gus wants absolute control, certainly of the offense, right? He wants the defense to be good, but he wants it to be good over there. And mm-hmm. he's going to have the offense good right here. And his whole career has been a series of him trying to get total control of the offense, not having Houston Nutt telling him how to do it, not having Gene Chizik telling him how to do it, and maybe now not having Damian Craig trying to tell him how to do it, okay? He's always wanting to do it his own way. And what I wonder is, it's kind of like what you just said, is that for the best, right? In other words, will Auburn's offense work best under Gus when he has sole control and nobody else is meddling and he's got just people he trusts around him? And Lord knows now he has just people he trusts around him, right? I mean, we'll get to that in just a second. Or will there come a day, who knows how far in the future, where he looks back and he says, you know what? It's hard to run a big-time college football program and have sole total control. You got to do it as a committee sometimes. You've got to have input from other people. You know, you doing it all by yourself like that, I mean, he may look back and think that he's been on a fool's errand all these years, thinking that he could, if he could just get this one more piece under his control, right, get this one more piece that's interfering with him out of the way, then the offense would be unstoppable because he won't have that one more little speed bump in the way. Or will he realize that that's basically impossible? What do you think?
I don't think Damian Craig was interfering with the offense. I know what you're saying. But
I don't mean the way that Gene Chizik was. I just mean he was not rowing the same stroke as everybody else. Yes. And we get that from numerous reports.
I think we've all, you know, all of us that are adults have worked in offices or professional situations where everybody wasn't on the same page and everybody wasn't, you know, moving with the same purpose in the same direction. And a football coaching staff has to be like that. Everybody has to be moving in the same direction, and you can't be like, well, you know, what about this or that or whatever. You have to be like, okay, that's what we're all going to go this way. And I think you're right in the sense that on this particular coaching staff, Gus has kind of handpicked his guys to who it's not like an all-star team from around the South kind of thing. These are like Gus's guys.
Yes.
Especially on the offensive side of the ball, it's 100% people that he gets along with.
Exactly. Yeah. Could not be more. Could not be more people he gets along with now.
And I think the guy I think is going to add the most value to making the offense the best it could be this year is Herb Hand, because I think he is a good offensive line coach. And I'm not that we didn't have one before, because we really did, but he's an offensive line coach who has worked with Gus, you know, at Tulsa when Gus first put in this read option stuff. And I think if we're going to go back to some basics in Gus's mind, this is the guy to do it with. And I think he's a guy with a strong personality who knows the offense well, who could say, hey, remember, we used to do this way and this way. What if we try that? And I think Gus would listen to him certainly more than he would listen to Damian or our previous offensive line coach, J.B. Grimes.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Well, let's move along through our other bullet points of things we want to talk about as far as this thing goes. Then we can get into our extended listener questions, and that'll be pretty much it for tonight. So what do we have? What else on the agenda?
Auburn has already replaced him. We hired Cody Burns away from Arizona State. He is the wide receiver coach. How do you feel about Cody Burns as the wide receiver coach? And in a general sense, given the Damien Craig situation, how do you feel about Auburn hiring former players?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's like not only does Gus now have coaches that he trusts, he has coaches he manufactured. Rhett and Cody both are Gus products, 100%, pretty much. And
Horton was on the staff at Arkansas with him.
Yeah, and Hand, of course.
Hand was on the Tulsa staff with him, sure.
Fountain is tight with him, from what I understand. So yeah, absolutely. I thought, you know, it was funny when as soon as the shock and all that got over me about Craig, and I got to thinking, you can tell how I still feel because I've always called him Damien, calling him Craig. Damien, if you're out there, give me time. All right. My first thought was Cody Burns. And then I thought, well, but don't you want somebody that replaces that, not only the replaces the hard-hitting recruiting ability, but also is a proven receivers coach, because Lord knows we need that. But then when we actually announced that, boom, we'd already hired Cody. And by the way, doesn't that tell you that this thing was kind of in the works and not a shock move? When we had Cody Burns on an airplane from Arizona, within like 4 minutes of the story breaking about Craig leaving, I mean, it broke the sound barrier of how fast we hired Cody. There was no, you know, it wasn't like Obama trying to decide who to put on the Supreme Court when Scalia died, you know, and he's like, well, now we must consider who. And like, boom, Cody was like in Auburn. Cody was like carrying Damien's bags to the Atlanta airport. He was already there, man. So I think I think Gus had that in mind from the get-go. Do you agree to that?
Well, I mean, I think if you're a head coach in the SEC, you should always have a list of replacement assistants for every position just in case something happens. And I think you're right that I think Gus and Cody had probably talked off the record about this possibility in the last couple of weeks and you know, agreed to work, you know, that it was going to happen if Damien left, so.
So the question then is it a good thing? I feel pretty good about it. I mean, I think that maybe Cody, we don't know what kind of recruiter he is yet, but I like having a young coach at the skill position, at one of the skill position areas on the staff, because I think you've got to have at least one fairly young coach. It helps, you know, that can relate to players better. You don't, that, you know, I always felt like sending Ellis Johnson out to recruit 18-year-olds is like bringing him over to my mother-in-law's house to watch I Love Lucy. I mean, it's just not going to get him very excited, you know. But having somebody that's just barely out of college himself, you know, that's got to be a positive. So, but whatever we lose recruiting with Damien switching to Cody, two things. One, he can only be a better position coach. Please, Lord, he can only be a better position coach. You know, there was an article about the Arkansas game last year. Did you see that?
I did.
Yeah, I mean, you may have sent it to me, in fact. And it was just amazing how it was Cole Kublik's brother, I believe, talking about mm-hmm. how the receivers just should be ashamed of themselves from that one game. I had another really important point. I'm trying to juggle too many thoughts at once because I don't have any of this written.
All right, let me talk about Cody for a minute. You recover there.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Again, just like with a defensive coordinator, my initial thought anytime we replace an assistant is not who is the Auburn-tied person, but who is the best person. My initial thought was we should go look at whose receivers in the country play the best and go hire that person. You know, is it the receivers coach at Oklahoma or, you know, wherever, TC, we should go get that person, whoever that is, and bring them to Auburn. And that person can learn Gus's system while they coach our receivers to be better at doing the receiving part of the job, you know, the catching the ball, running with the ball, those kind of things. And so in that sense, I mean, Cody Burns has been a coach for like 2 years, a full-time coach. And one of those was at, you know, a smaller school like a Tennessee Martin, and 1 year at Arizona State. And he's only coached receivers for 1 year. So he really is inexperienced in that way. And I know he know the advantage he has is he played the position at Auburn. He knows the offense. He knows the calls. He knows the receiver assignments. He knows what they're supposed to do. He knows what's expected of them in the offense. And he can communicate that to the players, the team. And as you said, he can certainly relate to them in a way that, you know, older coaches couldn't. But I'm also at the point where I'm like, I don't want to – I mean, this is Gus not hiring an Auburn person. This is Gus hiring a Gus person.
Yes.
This yeah. isn't – he didn't hire Cody because Cody's an Auburn man. He hired him because he's a Gus disciple who will get in the room and be on the same page with him and do what Gus asked him to do.
Absolutely. The other thing that I – that's exactly right. That's absolutely right. The other thing that I that I'd forgotten to slip my mind for a second was – in terms of picking up the slack on recruiting, we hired a new guy today. We hired a director of player personnel, which I thought was an NFL job, but apparently it's also a college job. And from what I understand, did you read about what this guy did at Texas, what Mac Brown said about him?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's an Alabama graduate, so But he went out, coached for Saban some, and he coached for Mac Brown. That's not a bad coaching tree pedigree, I got to admit, got to be honest. And Mac Brown said that at Texas, he revitalized and revamped their whole recruiting structure and everything. So I feel like between what you'll get from Cody, which may not be anywhere near as sophisticated as what Damian had developed over the years, plus what you get with this new guy, whose name I can't pronounce, Shugie, something
like that. Yeah, it's like Shugness or something. I can't remember.
When you get those two together, maybe that can somewhat match or at least get us close to what we might have lost. So the one thing I do regret is, of course, as everybody's talked about this, is that Damian had ties to Mobile in that area, and that's a hotbed, you know, as they say, a recruiting hotbed. And so I regret that we won't have the same, you know, Joe Witt, Damian Craig connection, because when we don't have somebody that owns Mobile, Saban comes rolling in. We got to have somebody that can lock down our part of you know, North Florida and South Alabama. And so that part is too bad, but I mean, what can you do? You know, I mean, so maybe that'll balance out. What else we got on our Damian Craig Blitzkrieg?
Do we want to have this conversation about your view about fans being positive online, or do you want to save it?
Well, I talked about it a little bit, but I mean, I guess just really my position is if you're on Twitter or other social media, are you saying and doing something that helps Auburn or something that hurts? Right. I understand that everybody out there, well, not everybody, but there's a whole lot of people out there who just want to be little Feinbaum juniors, you know? They want to say, look what I knew. I told y'all he was going to fail. I told y'all you should have fired him. They never have anything positive. They never should do. They just want to cut down and denigrate and be the I told you so's when somebody fails. And I have very little patience for that, right? If you're out there and you're saying stuff that's actively harming the program that you want to support, that's not helping. And I honestly wonder if these people don't root for Auburn to fail. If you've spent more seasons in the last 20 years hoping Auburn would do poorly so that somebody you don't like would be fired than you have seasons where you're actually enjoying when we do well, you have a problem, my friend. You have a serious problem if that's the way you look at college football. And you can go off in your own little box and be that way, But don't come out into social media and the Auburn Twitterverse, the Auburn, you know, Facebook and everything, and don't be poisoning that atmosphere like that, because players see it, coaches see it, other fans see it, and it creates this sort of gang that couldn't shoot straight mentality where, you know, people like Feinbaum jump on us, the Alabama people all jump on us, make fun of us. Again, I don't care about making fun of, but other people see that, and it creates a negative atmosphere around the whole program that could hurt recruiting. It could hurt all kinds of things. It could hurt fan support, turnout, you know, ticket purchases and things. So I just feel like if you're doing more negative than positive, more harm than good, just step back for a second and think about it before you start jumping on there and making matters worse. That it just absolutely drives me crazy. And when I go on there and I try to say, well, look, we don't know the facts, you weren't there, why? Then they call me an apologist or something like that, which is ridiculous. I'm just pointing out the facts. They're the ones making crap up, you know. So I don't know. That's all I've got to say about it.
I have a few thoughts about that. Okay.
Go for it.
Number one is, I think, again, sometimes when people are upset when a dramatic event happens, we lose a coach, we have a big decommitment or whatever, or, you know, a big loss or something, there's an emotional reaction. People are angry and stuff, and you have to just let that go by. There's not going to be rational stuff. People have to vent. And social media nowadays is a way for some people to get that out that they can't otherwise. And I understand it's not all positive or constructive or whatever, but it's going to happen. The other part that I have a problem with, though, is people are allowed to voice legitimate concern about things. And it's not wrong to do so. And again, there's a big difference between that and the example of the Damian Rhett, you know, don't play well in the playground story that you told earlier. I think there's a big difference between that and saying, look, you know, we've had a lot of coaching turnover in the last year, and individually all the cases make sense, but in the big picture, does it mean anything? Or does it matter?
I didn't see anything like what you're describing. I saw Gus is going to go 4-8 next year and get his ass fired. I told you so. That's what I'm talking about. And I have no patience for it.
That's fair. But I want to broaden this point a little bit and say, I have a problem. I think some Auburn fans get angry at the Auburn beat writers about this.
And that's funny, but it's true.
I think you said something about them talking about Damian Craig at LSU.
What's that?
You said something to them about them covering the Damian Craig press conference.
I stood up for the AL.com guys. I said that I have great respect for them.
Okay, I had it backwards. Other people were saying they should not be covering that.
Right. The one thing you may be thinking of is that one of the AL.com writers was saying purely LSU stuff about it, just purely LSU perspective. And they said, you can see this or this or this. And I said, or you can ignore it because now it's an LSU story. That was what I said.
I got
But you. As far as jumping on the actual reporters, there were people that were attacking Brandon and Crepia and a couple of others. And I said, hey, I have enormous respect for several that I know, you know, of the Scalise and Brandon are cool dudes. I like them. And I have great respect for their professionalism. I don't know James Crepia from the man on the moon, but I know Brandon and I know Scalise. And I was, you know, sticking up for him. So.
To me, there's a difference between you and I or the regular Auburn fan on Twitter saying something negative and a reporter saying something on there. Like, that's their job. You know, they're supposed to say what they think is going on. And so to me, it's just different. It's apples and oranges. But all right. The other big news this week was
I'm Marcello.
The other big news this week was we actually had good news. We had a player transfer in, a linebacker from Illinois.
Yes.
And another
Illinois player coming down to Auburn. How about that? It worked out pretty well last time, didn't it?
The Jay Prosh pipeline.
Woo!
And he's a graduate transfer, so he's eligible immediately.
He's our third Big Ten transfer. Prosh, Countess. Oh, fourth. Fourth. Prosh, Countess. Defensive back?
Dean. Jamal Dean.
And now this guy. Four Big Ten players coming south. Yes.
And Countess had a really good year for Auburn last year. I mean, he made a lot of plays and played all over the field in different positions. And I think this guy is going to start right away at linebacker with Trey Williams and be a real asset. I mean, he makes tackles. He makes tackles behind the line of scrimmage, tackles for loss, and he's been very productive for years. And he's a big physical guy, and I think he's going to be excellent. I think he's going to play right away, and he's going to make a big difference. And I'm very, very happy about this news.
I'm very if our defense can stay healthy, our defense has a chance to be very special this year. Compared to the last few years, you know, special's relative term.
I was going to say that will be much better.
Yes, but I mean, you got Carl out there the whole time. If you've got Cowart coming on, you got this transfer linebacker. You got the defensive backs have been growing up. You know, did you see that? One of the reasons we got the linebacker is he was at a dinner or something, a breakfast, and Pat Dye came up to him. Did you see that?
I did not see that.
Yeah, he said he was sitting there, and Pat Dye came up and says, "Hey, son, we need you out there, the linebacker, or whatever." And he says he Googled his name real quick and was like, "Oh, the field is named after this guy. I better listen to him." He said that. How cool is that?
Nice.
We're going to need you in to make the tackles on the football football field, Paul. And help me find my pants. So that's awesome. We're gonna have a good linebacker. We got a transfer Ohio State defensive back. This is great. I mean, I'm feeling really good about our defense. I'm feeling very good about this season. The one thing that, of course, it still stands out to me, and I'm concerned about running back. But if we can keep Javon Robinson healthy, then I think we'll be all right. I think we'll be all right. Are we ready?
We are ready.
All right. I got to push the button.
It's time for listener questions. Dun, dun, dun. On the AU Wishbone podcast.
What do we got?
All right. I did the smart thing and asked for Twitter questions on Sunday.
Yeah.
We were going to do this. We have some kind of immediate reaction questions.
Yeah.
Are you ready?
No. But go ahead. All right.
First question comes from Rusty Owens, and he says, "Why, God, why?"
Oh, my God!
Our next question comes from Cooper Womack, who says, "It's time to feel the burn, the Cody burn. Okay, I'm done."
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
I like that, though. I think that needs to be our next T-shirt is feel the burn and have an 18.
I like it.
Uh-huh. Okay. I just gave it away. Oh, we're going out live. Oh, no, no, stop. No, this is my idea. Copyright White Rocket Production 2016.
Just giving away the good ideas. That'll be it's already gone. Somebody's already printed it.
Blame yourself.
All right. Jonathan Harris, who says, "What? Why? Seriously? Tell me it's just raining and the sky really isn't falling. I want to believe."
You know, after Sunday on Twitter, all I can say is,
"Why does every day involve a fight with an American?"
You know what I tell those people on Twitter that have these opinions? They need to get married.
She is married. Then her husband will tell her what her opinions are.
ready, bro. All right, next question. Right,
I can't compete with her. Wardigo Poo says, what do two Auburn player coaches leaving in 1 year signify?
That two Auburn coaches left in 1 year? All right, look. Wait, what? The same position? Well, I don't understand.
Two former Auburn players who were coaches.
Oh, okay. Well, for separate reasons. It's one of these things where if you look at the whole thing, it seems suspicious. But if you look at it in pieces, it makes much more sense. I mean, what was Will Muschamp going to do? Say, no, I don't want to be the head coach of a major SEC school. I'd rather stay and be Gus's defensive coordinator. So, of course, Muschamp's going to go. And Travaris Robinson is going to go be his defensive coordinator because he knows the situation under Muschamp would be much better. They work together. They've always been together. He'd have free reign pretty much of the defense, whereas – you know, at Auburn, I have a feeling that Gus wouldn't have trusted him as much, maybe, you know, all that kind of stuff. Muschamp trusts him, knows him, and all that. So I didn't blame T-Rob for going at all. Not at all. There's no guarantee we would have even hired him as defensive coordinator. I don't know that we would have. I think we might have paid him more to stay on in his existing role and brought in a defensive coordinator. And, of course, he wanted to go be the defensive coordinator. And then, of course, we just talked about why Damian Craig left. So we've had a lot of staff turnover. But people seem to want to start taking that red twine and connecting the pins on the board, you know. And no, there is no red twine. There are just points on the board. There's no evil conspiracy where Gus is going, I will bring
up. No. See, the conspiracy is that they're all running away. They're fleeing the ship on fire, the sinking. Yeah,
but that's not. That's not true. And, you know – we know this very well. You know how you prove them all wrong and you get back at all this, all the haters, as they say, and all that. You know how you do it? You win. And we're going to go some barbecue determined record this year. And we're going to get the last laugh. And I'm going to laugh and laugh and laugh at those people. And I'm going to enjoy it.
All right.
And laugh.
Van's going to laugh. Patrick Williams says, why make a lateral move to a school where the coach barely survived last season? And I think you have presented a reasonable case, and I presented another alternative theory, too, as to why Damian would do that.
I don't have facts to back this up.
There you go.
Albeast says, has the SS Malzahn hit an iceberg?
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious.
Wardam Wade says, why not fire Lashley and keep Craig? Sometimes as CEO, you have to have stuff you don't like. I do want to say this point. I want to say this point, though. Rhett Lashley is the offensive coordinator and quarterback coach. The performance of the offense and the quarterbacks, I know it's Gus's offense a lot, but Rhett Lashley is the offensive coordinator and the quarterback coach. And the performance of the offense and the quarterbacks is on him. And so if the offense does poorly, it's going to reflect on him. It's going to reflect on Gus, too. And if the offense is terrible, it's going to cost him his job. But it's going to reflect on Rhett. So the question that Gus has to ask as the CEO of a $100 billion operation at SEC football team is Rhett Lashley the best person for me in that role? And I think Gus's answer is yes, because he trusts him and he knows the system like the back of his hand inside and out, and they communicate well. And I think that he hiring somebody else who's a, you know, great football mind that Gus doesn't know and trust as well, isn't going to work.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely right. Let me ask you this. The Arkansas game last year, John, how did Sean White do? Just Sean White as quarterback, how did he do?
He was great.
How did the receivers do?
They sucked.
Thank you. Moving on.
All right. I do want to come back to one thing you said there, though. I'll go back to this. That was a very poor game, and the receivers were bad. I don't think Damian Craig was a terrible wide receiver coach. I think let's go back and look at where, you know, 2013, what he did with that group of receivers, how he brought them around. how he turned Coates from basically a guy that nobody in the team knew, is kind of a malcontent, into a really, really good player. You know, Coates called out the team in 2012, and he had a lot of talent, but Craig coached him into being a guy that was one of the top wide receivers in the country and got drafted, is playing in the NFL now. So that worked. And again, at the end of 2014, our receivers were playing at a very high level, and we, had the most yards ever against Alabama. So I'm not saying he coaches way out of a paper bag. A couple more, kind of, as we say in my house, what the fun questions.
We don't say that in my house, but okay.
You have a 12-year-old that sometimes you have to be creative with these things. So. Auburn Tweep says, I'm kind of glad Auburn's getting all this negative press. Usually that precedes a good year. A Brave Man fan says, I expect this will hurt recruiting, but will this have a negative impact on the 2016 season? And he means like on the field.
No, I'm hoping it will have a positive impact. I'm hoping.
I think it goes back to what we talked about with Gus surrounding himself with people he trusts, and that he feels like he can rely on, that are all moving in the same direction. So, all right, that's it. That's it for listener questions.
All right, we have a new segment we're going to be introducing, Phasing In, and we haven't really prepared for it or anything. I don't have a sign for it or anything. But
are you dressing up as Big 12 coaches again?
We do need to have the coach on. We need to have we need to bring let me see. We need to have some. We need to have a little bit of this. Oh, that's all you get. That's all you get. Need a little bit of that. We need to get his opinion on Damian Craig. I think that'd be very interesting. So we'll bring him on maybe the next time. We've got a new segment, and I've talked about this with you a couple of weeks ago, but we haven't really gotten to do it. I just want to go ahead and introduce it so we'll have it on the radar and be thinking about it for the future. This segment is called Can't Let Go, and it's things that we can't let go of that we just have to mention in passing on the way out. And it has a little intro. There you go. And I guess what I can't let go of is just that I think Auburn fans on Twitter and other places need to grow up a little bit. They need to get a little perspective. They need to stop being so myopic and stop trying to be Paul Feinbaum Jr. That's what I just can't let go of this week. Anything come to your mind offhand before we roll out that you just can't let go of this week?
I can't let go of Van really judging it, Auburn Twitter.
I'm going to judge him. Oh, bring him out. I'll hang them all. Hang him. Hang him. Hang him.
And you better go pick up that Damian Craig jersey too.
Yeah, I'll let Mira have it. That's fine. She can use it as a dress. What have we learned this week? I'm afraid to know
we've learned that some people really didn't understand why Damian Craig left, but I think we have a better idea now. And I think we've also learned this show was much better on Thursday than it would have been on Sunday.
Yeah. If you think it was something of a challenge dealing with me tonight, oh, what if we'd done this show on Sunday? We'd have been setting stuff on fire back here behind.
We'd have been throwing stuff.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think that what we've learned, is that little perspective and little distance helps. And it's not just the people that are kind of, skies falling. I think that all of us benefit a little bit from a little perspective and all. So that's good. Do you feel like we've thoroughly addressed this topic? I mean, I feel like we could talk for another 2 hours and still unwrap layers of the onion, you know. But I mean, what do you think? You want to drive a nail?
I think we've addressed it for now, and I think we'll come back to it as we move along and see what happens at Auburn with spring practice and with Damien at LSU. But I think we've addressed it pretty well.
Well, I think that ultimately, what I'd like to see happen is LSU go 0-12, and Auburn go 12-0. Actually, if LSU goes 0-12, they'll definitely fire Les Miles. Definitely keep Damien around. Definitely throw $6 million or whatever at the going rate is now at Jimbo. And we'll have Jimbo Fisher at LSU. And I'm not sure I want that either, you know. So, you know, the day is coming, John. We have Jimbo Fisher at LSU and Dabo Swinney at Alabama.
Yes.
That
day is not that far in the future either.
It's not. It's really not. That's why I want Gus to be successful. He can be the dean of those coaches, and he can dog them out, and we can return to Atlanta every year. So, all right, I think that's gonna do it. I'm gonna go ahead and we're gonna go ahead and tune out the video, and I'll just put our closing music on in post. So, let me just point out that you can contact the show at AU Wishbone, at Van Allen Plexico, and at JK Ringer on Twitter. Or you can also, if you do the email instead, you can go to auwishbone@gmail.com. And that's how you can get questions and comments to us that we will often use on the air. And otherwise, I think our time is up, and I think we thank you for yours. So, War Eagle, John.
War Eagle, man.
Thanks for listening to the Wishbone Podcast. All past episodes are available at auwishbone.podbean.com and via iTunes. For more Auburn fun, join us on Facebook at facebook.com/auwishbone and follow the show on Twitter at auwishbone. War Eagle.
This has been a White Rocket Entertainment production.
Thank you for listening to the AU Wishbone Podcast.
Go to bed.